This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report, and today I'm talking with M1 of the hip-hop duo Dead Prez. Dead Prez are better known for their hard-hitting lyrical style and even harder-hitting political commentary, and M1 has been involved in grassroots political activism for the better part of two decades. Dead Prez's latest album is Information Age, and their latest single is called Politrix. So M1, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to get my fanboy moment out of the way right up front and admit that Hip Hop by Dead Prez is one of my favorite hip hop tracks of all time. And there are very few MCs out there that could pull off lines like that, so you have my respect for sure.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I take no credit for it. It's a lot of work from a lot of individuals who fed us information to come and present that to the world that was the emphasis behind that tune. So I thank them for helping me.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of art is a collaborative effort, but tell us about your latest single, Politrix.
Well, Politrix came at a time when we were analyzing the run for president, the presidency by Barack Obama, and then former candidate John McCain, and the political environment that it emitted to our people. So we were given a kind of in one instance at a glance analysis of where the whole presidency, the candidacy for his presidency was running through. We spell it Politrix with a triple K, because that I think that brings at least us to a clear anchoring point by which we begin the discussion, recognizing that the U.S. government is has been part and partial to a tirade, a campaign that has been exacted against African and foreign oppressed people in this country by organizations like the Ku Klux Klan for years. And so with that being a lot of the base and foundation of the political groundwork that has been laid in this country, then I thought it was a great preface for how Obama should be understood. The phenomenon of Barack Obama should be understood. And so in it, it was the thing that would be the leader, the lead-off kind of ground buzz towards our Information Age album, and with the tagline for that album being, it's what you don't know that can hurt you. And so what we wanted to do was more kind of give that perspective, or an informed perspective, definitely on politics, a raw, outright politics, like the presidential campaign that happened, or the contest for the U.S. imperialism that happened here, and around the world. So that's where we started with this campaign. So that's how we got to the song Politrix.
All right. Well, M1, you and Stickman had some interesting lines when you were freestyling outside the DNC in Denver last summer. And at one point, you said, "You expect me to vote for the lesser of two evils? Never. It's more like the evil of two lessers." And certainly you pull no punches in Politrix, saying that Democrats and Republicans are two sides of the same coin. So I take it you don't think that people are automatically going to be safe from tyranny just because we have a Democrat or an African-American in the White House.
Oh, definitely not. The tyranny will continue as long as U.S. imperialism is alive, which we're seeing the crisis and the weakening of U.S. imperialism as we speak. Since the elected presidency of Barack Obama, which is evidence of the most clear evidence of neocolonialism on the part of imperialism, meaning putting a black face on the front of white power, because make no mistake about it, Barack Obama is not a proponent of revolutionary politics, or in any remote way connected to community organizing that happens in a way that would shake the foundation of oppression that lies in this country today. So no. By the fact that we have an African president or a Democrat, by and large, would not mean that there would be much of any kind of change except for the face of imperialism that we have. And I think that's the clear question that we wanted to put out. You know, one of the things that we had to be particularly careful about was the general sentiment that was regarded from the people about Barack Obama, because he is a charismatic man who I think can be identified with by the masses of people on national and international scale. He's a great speech maker. However, he is the next logical step to continue imperialism down the line of misery all over the world for poor and oppressed people. And no matter what, until we change that, America won't shake that. America will still be the home of imperialism. It'll still be the enemy of free-thinking and freedom-loving people around the world.
So if voting for some politician and leaving it up to him to solve our problems isn't the answer politically, what is the answer?
Well, I think there are different approaches to the answer, if you will. I mean, and you know, I guess I got to start by saying, of course, I don't know everything. I'm a social scientist. I gather information and analysis that will hopefully break the foothold that imperialism has on the world and can strengthen the masses towards empowering ourselves, because self-determination, I think, is the key. So to me, when you talk about the answer, there's two strategies around that, and one we just saw work or go down in this country where, you know, there is obviously a problem and a crisis with imperialism, and people, everyone, not just people who are revolutionaries, but everyone is attempting to address it in some way in United States life. Whether that means to recycle or go green, as they say it, or vote, you know what I'm saying, whatever stance you take. But the two-pronged approach is, okay, there's a problem with the world, and either we're going to go in and say, hey, to the structure, power structure that rules America right now, we're going to say, hey, can we stop? Can you empathize with our misery and our pain? And can we change the government? Can we somehow institute laws and make some policies that will bring true freedom or at least relief to our community? There's that approach, and then there's the masses of the people who I'm a member of, who know that who will take this true power, where we want to amass power, and amassing power means to amass the ability to define our reality for ourselves now and in the future, and that is the true bargaining chip by which we can even talk to the imperialists, because I truly say I don't believe that we can vote America into a kinder, more gentle imperialism, a kinder, more gentle tyrant. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the way that it's going to happen is we're going to amass power and begin to be able to bargain with power brokers who have no choice but to accept us at the seat of the world table. And so that's I think that's the approach. The approach is to get power. And empowerment, of course, is a heavy question that it will take us some time to go into about how we do this empowerment thing. You know, our history is clear. It's where do we go from here? It's who will lead. It's how we will lead on the way out. That we'll talk about it. So, in specific, like I said, no answers here to it. I think, but clearly, you cannot have any kind of justice in this country until we talk about having a revolution in this country, in the United States.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that self-determination is the key, and I think that's a message that'll resonate with my listeners. But M1, let's step back for a moment. On the Corbett Report recently, we've been talking about politics and music and how they nexus together, especially in hip-hop. And there are a few groups out there where the music and the politics go together so naturally, as in Dead Prez. So what's your take on music and politics and how they intersect?
Well, I studied Mao Zedong's Little Red Book. It is a great study guide for revolutionary approach to the masses. General Mao, who we regard as a hero, and of course who the imperialists regard as a tyrant, most of the world will, when you say that name, they say, oh, he's talking about people who were ruthless. Well, I think ruthless against imperialists is more apt for the term. So when I study culture, which music is a part of, the overarching theme about music is part of a cultural identification with the world and where people are involved. And then Chairman Mao's little red book, it said that cultural workers are the temperature gauge by which we can tell the political maturity of the mass. So it's the cultural workers who will be the temperature gauge for the political maturity. If we take that analysis in this particular place, where I'm sitting right now in Houston, Texas, on my way to Sweden tomorrow, and as an African in this particular way in the world, then we'll see that, you know, what's put forth by the ruling class and about what we think about ourselves has a lot to do with, their ability to keep us uninformed. That's the reason why the music sounds the way that it is. There is no urgency about political maturity or information. And therefore, most of the culture is used to basically terrorism through propaganda. They terrorize the minds of the general American public through fear mongering about anything that doesn't look, like it came from white power. If it came from any other place in the world, then it could be dangerous. The misinformation dumbed down. We call it dumbing down of our community is almost criminal when you look at what's happening and hip hop is directly related to it, which is the reason why the music and by and large what they call the mainstream sounds the way that it does. So I hope I answered your question, but I think that's kind of where it is.
Yeah, I think you did answer the question, and I agree with a lot of your analysis, but I have to disagree about Chairman Mao. I think killing 60 million people is not going to help throw off the shackles of imperialism in any way.
Say that again. You said you don't think that...
I don't think that killing 60 million people in the name of a revolution is going to help throw off the shackles of imperialism. I think it's just a different form of imperialism.
Well, we can only judge by the work that people put in. I mean, I can say that the natural antagonist to imperialism is what today's modern-day construct called communism or socialism. So to unite the workers of the world around the fact that we can defeat the world's enemy, which is imperialism, through uniting a force of anti-imperialist minded people, I think that has to be constituted as a revolutionary blow against imperialism, and I think it helped for us to be able to fortify some of our advancement towards empowerment in this country, meaning our many Africans in America, and anti-imperialist forces in South America and around the world. So, you know, nobody is trying to say that anything happened here that's perfect. But when you regard the murders that happened in China and under Mao Zedong's China versus the rampant genocide that has happened at the hands of imperialists worldwide, just to continue to make a buck, there's an awesome unbalance here. Now, how do we make it so that we have a peaceful revolution, or one where people turn over the power to or right to the masses without bloodshed and casket? Well, I think there we have some questions left to be answered. But I don't think I'm the one to judge the work that's there until we can say or be involved in an open kind of that open dialogue happening right now. Right now we're so suppressed. It's like, I think if we begin to even talk about revolution in a real way in the United States, dare I say we would be murdered. I know ones who spent 40, 50 years behind in dungeons and prisons. And I can compare that to the worst kind of treatment that I've ever seen in the world. So I think there's a lot. It's relative. I think revolution is relative. It's relative to the point of view, whether you're speaking from the point of view of the oppressor or from the point of view of the oppressed. And then I think you see what justifies the means, what the end justifies the means. Now, you know, no judgment here. I'm, like I said, not trying to say that any way is the one way we have to go. We study history so that we can make better on the movements that come. And not only do we study Chairman Mao, but we, you know, of the great leaders in this country who helped to see our way into a particular position that we're in today. I mean, Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King, who was a warrior, a peaceful warrior, and I regard highly. But nonetheless, we're not free, so we need still to find an exact mechanism by which we can find results that will work for us. And I mean today, because we're dying now. Not even 60 million. Our numbers are high. Our numbers are much higher. I mean, the stats are incredible. So I'm just saying, whatever we can use to work, let's make it work.
Well, again, I agree. Analysis, I just really hope it can be done through peaceful revolution. Tell us about some of the artists who've inspired you along the way.
Well, when I'm given the opportunity to be in front of a crowd of people, and you know, I feel the awesome responsibility of telling what I understand is true, and in that way, the raw brashness of it to me was done no better than people like Peter Winston McIntosh, who's known as Peter Tosh of Bob Marley and the Wailers. And it's forces like he who dare to strike out that make me able to do any kind of art. The Last Poet, Abiodun Oyewole, Babatunde, Brother David, all these cultural artists during the Harlem revolutionary upheaval during the 60s were important to my growth later, much later, many years later. You know, I learned from these forces. Of course, Fela, Nicola Poe, Ransom Kutu, he tops the list, but it continues to go on and on. And mind you, it doesn't have to just be revolutionary forces in politics, but these artists gave me a lot of the cannon fodder to be able to stand and deliver the way to learn how to use the word. Because even if I want to talk about going to a party or having fun or wearing some clothes that I feel instill self-esteem and confidence just from a fashion level, I do it now from the perspective of someone like that versus someone who is uninformed. And, I mean, the list can go on. Malcolm X was one of the illest MCs of all time. Malcolm himself, Nina Simone, the list can continue on and on. LKJ, Lyndon Kwesi Johnson. I'm inspired. I'm inspired. Sun Ra, Oscar Brown the Third. Oscar Brown was immense in this country, right out of the jazz era. Those are some of the people who I really look to highly.
Well, you've been inspired by some great people, and you're inspiring, I think, the next generation of hip-hoppers. So what can we expect from you and Stickman in the upcoming year?
Well, yesterday, we concluded making an album, which is, I think it'll come off like a mixtape, but we did it in collaboration with a producer and musical visionary named DJ Green Lantern, who is a DJ for Nas and has made a lot of kind of mainstream hits in the U.S., who is a friend of ours. So we finished making this project called Pulse of the People. And Pulse of the People will be out in the U.S. in April, definitely, in April. And it's the Dead Prez and DJ Green Lantern collaboration that we are basically putting the final finishing touches on. We engaged in doing the Pulse of the People project in the middle of making this new Information Age album because we felt like we could use the inspiration from a kind of street level production, because Information Age is the album that Pulse of the People would gear up for. So we plan to drop both of these projects this year and later. Information Age sounding a lot different sonically, similar with the message, but hopefully with a different trajectory. But we want to be able to feed the masses more culturally. I think in this time, we're looking at, a time of emergency. We really need to move in emergency. So those are some of the things we're going to do. And then we're going to supplement that with going everywhere in the world and touching down with people about what we're doing. We'll be touring, and I hope to see every one of you and engage the people up front and in our faces, in their faces.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the new material. How can people find out more about Dead Prez?
Well, don't believe what you read in the news about Dead Prez. Don't believe the opinion of people who have hearsay. Some of them might say that we are racist. I ran into that last night. We're obviously not. We're anti-imperialists. We are against white power. And just to make clarity. I think to be more exact, you can get up with us at deadprayers.com. We're building that site. It's not where we want it to be. It's just a place where we can meet. So you can leave a message of some information. We have a MySpace for Dead Prez, of course. We're building other online platforms so you can get in contact with us. So through that, you can be able to get up with everything we're writing, our books, where we are on tour, and everything like that. So hit us with at the MySpace, hit us on the web at deadprayers.com. Look for us in person, and look for us in the whirlwind. Look for us in the whirlwind.
All right. Well, I certainly will look for you. M1, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me on the Corbett Report.
Thank you so much, and thanks to Corbett Report. Forward to the final offenses. Now is the time. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you.